You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, and welcome to Trample Bet Podcast for the weekend of the 2nd of September 2023. I'm your host, Gordo, and with me, well, not really as always, you know, when he likes to be a guest, is Mr. Dave Greenfield. Dave, how are you getting on?
Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, not too bad. We seem to be missing someone.
We are. We are very much missing someone. Someone who has decided to go on holiday to, like, parts of England that have odd hotels and is just doing that. So I can't make the time for this podcast that he's been doing for 6 years. So, I mean, I don't know. I take it as a personal slap in the face, but I hope we will be able to amble through. And he's, to be fair, he's picked a good week to not actually be here because we didn't have a fantastic week last week and he fucking lost his banker. So he's fucked off to England to hide from this. And we'll be taking through it. So we'll rock it through last week's results because they weren't fantastic. But we've got our guest waiting in the waiting room, so we'll be able to let him in at some point soon. So I'll just rock it through. We'll start with Andy's. His banker was Copenhagen Silkeborg. Silkeborg won this 3-1 away from home. Very surprising. Copenhagen were in the middle of a 2-week Europa League tie. Probably had something to do with it. So. Not a great result for Andy in there. My banker came in. I backed Napoli. Napoli won. There's a surprise. They were playing against Sassuolo. They were 3-10 to do so. So that was pretty good. And what happened to your banker, Dave?
Yeah, my banker was great because he got called off. It's meant to be Fenerbahce against Bakshir, but again, they were in the middle of a two-legged Europa tie, and they managed to get their game called off, so they didn't have to play it.
No harm, no foul, Dave. A non-runner, that's fine. But yeah, 1 out of 2 in the bankers, not great. So onto the values, where we did a little better. Andy's value was Monday night, so it's basically still being played just now. This was Vielke versus Brøndby. Brøndby won this game 1-0. Vielke got a penalty in the 90th minute and missed it. Which never happens to Andy. Generally, they score that and he has a wee sour mood. But so his value came in. Mine was Fiorentina versus Lecce, which really didn't look like it was coming in. I had Lecce or draw. Fiorentina won the game, started winning the game 2-0. Lecce brought it back to 2 each. So mine came in. That was 11-8 when it kicked off. Dave, would you like to tell us about Wigan Barnsley?
Yeah, I love Wigan at 5-4, but they lost this game 2-0. They went down to 10 men after 20 minutes, and Devante Cole scored for Barnsley not long after. To be fair to Wigan, they held out because Barnsley didn't score again then until the 92nd minute, so they did put up a good fight, but they did out themselves again, down to 10 men after 20 minutes.
I mean, immediately losing a man is not the best way to start any game. not fantastic. Outsiders, Andy's outsider was Kyoto Sanga versus Asvipa Fukuoka. Asvipa Fukuoka are shit, and I don't know why he backed them. They were 2-1 to win this game. Kyoto Sanga went up 2-0, got a man sent off, and Asvipa Fukuoka capitalised on this by not doing anything with the man advantage for the next 70 minutes. Not a great outsider in there. My outsider was just as shit. This was Sarpsborg versus Tromsø. And we talked about this, Dave, as being, oh, there's actually a couple other podcasts that are recommending Tromsø as a potential outsider in here. They lost 4-0 to Sarpsborg. They're not in Europe. They're not doing anything. I've got no excuse for this one. Total freak result there. And if you look at the stats for the game as well, they'd more of the ball. They'd more of the ball. And vastly less shots on goal. So, nothing there for me on the outsider slot. Would you like to talk about your outsider?
Yeah, my next order was Bilbao against Betis in Spain. And to be fair, Bilbao won the game 4-2. But Betis were 2-0 up after 10 minutes. So if you backed it with our friends 365, you'd have been paid out for the outsider. But they then conceded, they then decided to give away two penalties to make it 2-2. Bilbao got a third in the first half stoppage time, and then as Betis were trying to get back into the game, Bilbao scored a fourth. So, but yeah, it wasn't great. But like we say, if you did get paid
365, so yeah. You know, I was paid. The other outsiders didn't come in, so it was really two of you know, we need to, as Andy was saying, need two of three for your Trixie there. But yeah, so I mean, I consider that as an outsider win because of how I backed it. But yeah, I mean, I'm backing Betis this week, so. I don't have anything to complain about there. On to the charities. Andy got a winning charity, and I know for a fact he predicted a correct score in this game with his William Hill 3-5. This was Ayr versus Dundee United, a game he was at. Dundee United won this game 3-0 and did a fiver on that, which turned him about 120 quid. So good on him. My charity was bad, so I'll be backing it again this week. 2 out of 4 for me. This was Valladolid versus Alcorcón. Alcorcón won this game 2-0, scored their first two goals of the season and got their first win. Congratulations, Alcorcón, for all of that. Not the best time to do it for me. And then, Dave, you rounded us out with Gillingham Colchester. How did that game shake out?
Yeah, I really like Gillingham. Gillingham were top and Colchester were bottom. But I think, as most people probably saw, there was a bit of a car accident the day before with a few Gillingham players. So they were missing quite a few players. I know one of my mates messaged me in the morning and said, you know, showed me the video and was like, yeah, it's not good. Don't re-back them because they've got a few players out. And to be fair, they held out first half, was still 0-0, but they lost the game 3-0 in the end. But, you know, in hindsight, I wouldn't
you can't predict the car. I mean, Dave, to summarise your picks for last week and the unfortunate circumstances around them, cancelled, down to 10 men after 20 minutes, paid out after 20 minutes and lost, and car crash with half team in car. So really, not much you can do about those things. So not a fantastic week, but we're hopeful of bringing in a new guest. We'll electrify us and get us back on that 12-fold. So we're going to go to the midsection just now and bring in said guest. You'll see us, if you're not on Patreon, after this short break. But if you are on Patreon, we thank you very much for being so. You can, if you would like to join us, you can see us at trampledbet.com. And you'll be able to sign up to our Patreon. It's £5 a month. You get access to the cheat sheet, which is everything written down. You get to see our lovely mugs right now. Me and Dave are looking very ravishing. So, you know, you'd be able to see us there. And you get the middle section where we post lots of things about different games. I ran it quite close with mine, which was 3 draws last week. All three were drawing up until 85 minutes. So you'd find a market at 80 minutes. That'd be great for them. But Dave was on the music last week. So yeah, let's head into that midsection and we'll see you after this short break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back. I hope your advert was great and for something that you are really interested in. You may have noticed that we have gained a guest this week. I say guest. Dave's on as our Andy for this week because he could be bothered to be here, which was nice for all of us. We're joined, obviously, by Mr. Joey Slenzak. Joey, how you keeping, big man?
You know, I'm not doing too bad. It's been a little long week, but hey, it's always fun coming on the pod and shooting the shit, throwing some punts out there.
Well, I mean, that's what we're here and we're all about. So we'll have a slightly different order this week. I was tempted to let you go first, Dave. I quite like going second in these things, like and following in, but I'll step up. I'll step up. I'll do the first one here as well, and we can talk about our picks for this week. So yes, let's roll straight into it. Start with my banker, which is chronologically for me my last game. It is Sunday at 5:30, and I'll be taking Atletico Madrid at home to Sevilla. I believe Atletico Madrid were of interest to you yesterday evening, Joey, where you had taken Vallecano or draw in a 7-0 away win.
I thought they were kind of struggling a bit for form to start the first few matches, but that was a tough one. That's I think that kicked them right into gear.
Yeah, you really did. You gave them the boost that they needed. And I'm back on that boost against a Sevilla team that has started in the kind of form you don't want to be starting in, losing to Girona and Alaves, two teams that if I gave you 10 teams and you had to pick out who was potentially in the second Spanish division, I would think you may pick one of them. So there are two teams towards the bottom of the table in there. Atletico Madrid have obviously started. They had a 0-0 draw with Betis, who we'll talk about later on, took apart Vallecano away from home. They've got a kind of sorry Sevilla side here to play against. 1-2. So maximum banker value for me. I'm getting right up to the line and stopping there. So yes, I'll be taking Atletico Madrid at home. Dave, where are you? What do you fancy?
I'll tell you where I am. Do you know Atletico had less of the ball when they won 7-0 as well?
Yeah, that's some sweet counter-attacking football, that, isn't it?
Well, I was listening to the game. It's funny, I was listening to the game or the match while I was working. Or no, I was golfing. I was golfing at that point.
Yeah.
Not gonna act like I worked that hard. It literally was like, okay, they got the first two, maybe first third. And then they're just like, okay, we'll just sit back. You guys come at us. We're just going to counter you. Like, we know you're not doing anything. So, yeah.
They are the Spanish Burnley. That's
pretty much all Vallecano.
I'm interested that they had less of the ball. I'm hopeful that they can replicate a similar result. But who are you on, Dave?
My bankers are in the Championship on Saturday, 3:00. It's Leeds against Sheffield Wednesday, and I'm going to take Leeds at 5-11. So Leeds are mid-table at the minute, 13th, played 4 games, scored 7, they've conceded 7, got 5 points, whereas Sheffield Wednesday are dead bottom, 24th, only scored 4 goals, they've conceded 9, and they sit on 0 points. Leeds have had a bit of an indifferent start to the season, 2 draws and a loss, but they beat Ipswich 4-3 last week. The squad seems settled now. They've got rid of like who they need to get rid of and who wanted to go. Farkas talked Nonto and Sinisterra around into staying. They signed Joel Perreault from Swansea, who bagsman at that level. He loves goals in the champ. They also just took Jed Spence on loan from.
I've seen that actually.
First today, he was when Forrest went up. He was instrumental at right back for them. But yeah, but like you look at the 4 players that scored against Ipswich. So you had Rutter, is a £30 million player, Nonto, Italy international, Joel Perreault scored on his debut, and then like Sinisterra scored as well. So it's sub front 4 to be playing in the Championship.
Did you see Nonto at Boomtown as well? Like there's a video of him just like big festival joining. It was just him in like this bucket hat. And he's like, there's some guy's tweet like
drum and bass festival.
He's like, why the fuck is Wilfred Nonto behind me?
Look, Sheffield Wednesday have lost all 4 games that season. Leeds are also ranked 3rd in big chances created. And if you fancy a Leeds penalty, Sheffield Wednesday have conceded the most pens this season with 2. So there we go. But yeah, I think Leeds will start kicking on now they've got a settled squad.
Yeah. Good, man. Sounds decent. Well, Joey, how will you be rounding out our banker treble?
Yeah. So for the bank of trouble, I still couldn't believe how many matches got like postponed for Europa League fixtures.
Yeah.
I think it was mainly Belgium and Turkey. But it's just like, really? everyone else is getting on with it. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on, boys.
You don't have that much travel. But no, my banker this week, in honor of Andy, is going to be in the Danish Superliga. And I like Odense versus Vejle. And that's going to be both teams to score, unsurprisingly. Got to bring a little bit of that action to this show. And that's going to be at 2-3. Oh, wait, no, sorry. We don't simplify fractions here on this show. So that's actually going to be 6-9.
Yeah, nice.
And that's going to be on Friday at 6 p.m. So 7th place Odense hosts last place Vejle. And while this should be a straightforward win for Odense, they've really struggled defensively, conceding two goals exactly in half of their matches, and both teams to score in all six. Vejle have lost every single match, but have only been held scoreless twice in their six matches, one of which was partly due to a red card in the second half. I think it was the 60th minute against Aarhus in a 1-0 loss on opening day. But they actually won the XG battle in their last match against Brøndby, a 1-0 loss, which, hey, help the pod. We're not mad about
it. They also missed a pen there, yeah, in the 90th minute.
I'd imagine that would probably contribute to a lot of that, because they created 1.85 XG from 10 attempts and 3 on target. So this is just as much a fade of Odense, but Vejle have actually managed to score 2 goals against Copenhagen, and they've scored against Midtjylland, Viborg, and Silkeborg, all teams directly around Odense in the table. So that part should be fairly straightforward, and because it wouldn't be a show without me if I didn't bring a little extra spice. And I love the second half both teams to score. You can get that at 2-1. Both sides have seen it in 4 of their last 5 matches, and all 4 matches that Vejle have seen both teams to score, there's been both teams to score in the second half. So I think that's not a bad shout. I wouldn't be surprised, given Odense's form, that we see both teams to score in both halves, but I'm fully expecting 1 goal in the first half and then both teams to score in the second half, and hopefully get ourselves a 3-goal thriller.
I do not care when they score, as long as one goes in one net and one goes in the other, in the respective things. So, yeah.
That is the important part.
That's the important part. I'm not Andy, so I'm not going to give you live odds on these. You just have to put them into whatever bookmaker you choose to select for this. But yeah, some strong bankers in there as well. And I guess we move on to the value picks. My value pick is in Spain. It's La Liga. It is Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Some very traditional Spanish live football time, that. In a game I'm dubbing the battle of two teams that played Atletico Madrid over the last few weeks. This is Betis versus Rayo Vallecano. And I'm going to take Betis at home here at 10-11, just under even money. Had to laugh at Flash Scores rundown of this fixture, because it starts out with Manuel Pellegrini may well have just about calmed down from last weekend's La Liga defeat to Atletico Bilbao. So yeah, by the time this game kicks off, Betis have been all right in there. They obviously lost that game last week to Bilbao, but they went up 2-0, drew with Atletico Madrid, and they beat Villarreal. They're playing against a Rayo Vallecano team who have just come off a 7-0 loss to Atletico Madrid. And I can't really see them winning this game the other way around. If you look at the last 5 meetings of the teams, and they have been in the same league in the last few years, it's 3 Betis wins and 2 draws. The draws came away and home, so it's not as if there's some bias there. It's been both teams to score in all of these games, which may be of interest to you, Joey. But yeah, coming off a 7-0 loss and then having to play Betis, who are quite a good team, is probably not the time you want to be doing it. Betis have got the habit of actually scoring quite a bit as well. Let's just hope they hold on to their 2-0 lead this week and don't ship it away. But it wouldn't matter, because it's paid out anyway. So even money, Betis, Rayo Vallecano, Saturday night in Spain. Dave, where are you?
My game is it's a Sunday at 1 a.m. UK time.
Yes, it is.
I am in the home of Samba, and I am in the Brazilian Serie A, and it's Botafogo against Flamengo, and you can get Botafogo here at 11-10. Botafogo first, they've had 21 games, scored 38, only conceded 11 goals, they got 51 points. As Flamengo, not doing too bad, they're in fourth, they've scored 34 goals, conceded 26. They're on 36 points. This is all about Botafogo here. They've taken 11 points from the last five, scored 10. They've only conceded two. They've actually kept 13 clean sheets this season, Botafogo. They've got the best home record, where they've scored 26 and they've only conceded three home goals all season. Flamengo have taken 8 points from their last five games. They've scored six and conceded seven. Botafogo have also got Tiquinho Suarez, who's the league's top scorer, with 13. They also have Diego Costa up front as well, which might have something to do with the fact that they're managed by the ex-Wolves and Benfica manager, Bruno Lage. I think it was Lage who actually took Costa to Wolves from a thing. So, I mean, Flamingo, I've got a couple of players you might know as well. They've got David Luiz, ex-Chelsea and Arsenal, and Luis Felipe of ex-Atletico Madrid. But, you know, those are players, along with Costa, are in their twilight years.
Yeah.
But like I said, this is all about Botafogo. They're running away with this league. And I expect them to take another 3 points here.
I mean, I'd just like to congratulate you on finding a league that we haven't bet on in 6 years to get the Brazilian top division. Dave Biggin, a bit of Samba at the podcast there. And I think I'm definitely putting in the Patreon description, it's all about Botafogo. Joey, I'm going to be disappointed if you're not in like the Malawi second division here or finding me the South Sandwich Island Regional League. Where are you?
Don't count me out yet. There's still plenty of season to go. I'm sure I'll find a niche league. Been looking at my Tractor Boys over in Iran.
Yeah.
There's literally a team called Tractor.
Yeah, so, Tractor, you know, Sassy. There's a Scottish guy went and played.
How can you not get down with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Grant, they're doing awful because I've got flash score updates from them constantly. They're just losing every single match. But hey, maybe we can find a little way to capitalize on that. But no, for my value shot, I'm going to be in the mainland Europe, and I like Milan to win away against Roma. You can get that at 2.7-ish. That's going to be at Friday at 7:45 p.m. So, granted, only second match of the Serie A season, but these are two teams in very different form right now. They're off to very different starts. Milan are one of four teams with two wins in two matches. And they're top of the table after beating Genoa 2-0 away and Torino 4-1 at home. While Roma lost 2-1 to Verona away, and they actually drew 2-2 with Salernitana at home, where they trailed for 39 minutes in the second half before Andrea Belotti equalized in the 82nd minute. So obviously Roma have quality players like Dybala and Belotti, and they actually just signed Lukaku on loan from Chelsea. But they've actually trailed for 119 minutes of the 180 minutes they've played. I mean, excluding stoppage time. So far this season, and this Milan side honestly looks poised for a serious title challenge with the addition of Christian Pulisic, Yunus Musa, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Noah Okafor, and Sam Chukwueze. And actually it kind of helps us out here. Historically, Milan hasn't actually lost in seven straight meetings against Roma, and they've actually won three of their last six matches at Roma. Jose's certainly going to try to cook something up to stymie this offense. But with Leao and Pulisic on the wings, Milan have been extremely potent on the counter and should have more than enough quality to capitalize on any mistakes and keep Roma from getting back into the match. A lot of the recent matches have been draws, so it's understandable that this price has I love to call it a pick 'em. But it's, as Andy would love to say, it's a coin toss, and this is the side I want to be on. I mean, that's just such a great price. I fully wouldn't be surprised if there's both teams to score, but you want a little bit of extra spice. Milan win plus both teams to score is like 5-1, something like that. Just something mental. So could be worth a couple quid, but it definitely expecting Milan to just keep bossing this league. And it's funny, Jose Mourinho actually came out and said that his expectations for the season is like Roma should finish like 5th to 8th, which, yes, he's managing expectations, but like, really, that's what you want to hear after going to the Europa League final the previous season? Like, don't know. He's he might be laying it out a little too thick, but should be a Strickland win. I'd love Pulisic to get another goal. He's had two in the first two matches. Him and Giroud have just been banging him in, so we'll just keep that going.
I mean, you know I like this pick. So, yeah, I'm a big Milan fan in this one. So, yeah, that I mean, good price in there as well. And I'm sure that the combination of those three picks will give you a number, and that number will possibly be good. it'll be, hopefully, after we do this, I'll post the potential 12 fold to our chat, as I generally do, because that's the only number really that matters to me, is the big one that's about 120 grand. Lots of good picks in there as well. Dave, congratulations for finding a league that we've not been in. Joey, congratulations for finding a pick that I like. Both are as.
I mean, to be fair, Gordo, there's. I feel like you and I are.
We're a bit symbiotic. Yeah, we like this. We're the same leagues in there.
Best year and a half.
It's Dave and Jerome. They can't find a pick they like together. So yeah. I'll roll on to the outsiders here. And my outsider is in the German Bundesliga. This is on Sunday at 4:30. It is Union Berlin versus RB Leipzig. And I like Union Berlin here to win. And they are a shade over the nice numbers we're talking about at 23-10. Started fantastically. Top of the league. Played two games. 8 goals scored, 2 conceded, 6 points. I mean, there's 4-5 teams on 6 points towards the top of the Bundesliga at the moment. But they are up there. They've also done it in interesting fashion as well. They got a man sent off after going up 1-0. Robin Gosens scored. Then Brendan Aaronson, who played with Norwich. It was Leeds, yeah. So he got himself sent off in 21 minutes there. Then Darmstadt equalised, but Union Berlin went on to win this game 4-1. They did the opposite of the Fukuoka boys. They actually did something when down to 10 men. So they just look as good as they were here. They play a lot of like sitting deep and hitting people on the press, so you can do that with 10 men. Doesn't really change their strategy at that point. I like Union Berlin. They're playing against a Leipzig team who have also started pretty well. You'll find Leipzig in 8th place on 3 points. They were a bit interesting recently because I didn't fancy them to play. They lost to Leverkusen, who haven't been very good, and Leverkusen for that game were like 11-8, so they were a big price. But they were 2-0 down in the first half there. They came back last week and beat Stuttgart 5-1. But Union Berlin in this head-to-head, considering these teams aren't, but they've not been in the leagues that much. The last 3 meetings have all been Union Berlin wins. That was away, home, and away. All 2-1. In fact, 4 out of the last 5 games that they've played, they've won. And they've won this game 2-1. So it's generally quite a narrow one in there. Yeah, I really like Union Berlin here. And at 23-10, I think that's a pretty tasty price as well. And when Andy was off, I thought, going to sneak in, get on that Union Berlin hype. So, yeah, I fancy them to beat Leipzig. It's basically like the two opposite clubs in this league as well. Like Union Berlin, fans, you know, did everything to get that club into the league. They saved it. And Leipzig are just a fucking money club that no one likes. So, we'll deal with that. But yeah, we'd all like to see. I'm sure that most of the German fan base would very much agree with me that a Union Berlin win here.
Absolutely.
It would be great.
Yeah, no, I was actually looking at that one for a different reason. Both teams are scoring over 2.5, possibly over 3.5. But no, Kevin
over 3.5. The last 5 games have been 2-1. I don't know what you want from this in over 3.5.
3-1 Union. 3-1 Union. That's 3-1 what we're looking for.
I would be very happy if that's
Kevin Behrens has been.
Yeah.
Kevin Behrens has been on sensational form. I think he's got braces in back-to-back matches. I know he scored in both matches, but I mean, him and Danny Olmo too. Danny Olmo's a little surprising. He's not like one of the bigger names on the team. You look for Lois Openda, who just got signed this season, or Timo Werner, who's just the perennial Leipzig man. But I mean, Danny almost got goals in both matches. I think he was no shy. I think he wasn't shorter than, what was it, 3.5-ish? The last match was the shortest he was, but I think I found him the first match at like 4 or 5 to 1. So I think the books are definitely undervaluing him a little bit. I'd look at
Robin Gosens as well.
And Robin Gosens has been a very nice addition. I was just amazed by that that turnaround with Darmstadt. I think they went 1-0 down first and then had the red card and then
time to win this game.
It was 1-1 and then they got the red card and then they went on. But no, the Unionless started just brilliantly. That should be hopefully should be a really fun watch with Union winning, of course.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I'm not too positive on the both teams to score because I would rather that didn't happen. But yeah, so Union, they can do it at like 5-0. See if they want to chip in a
courtesy goal. It'll go 2-0 up. They'll be paid out. And then we get our goals.
Then you get your goals. No, that's fine then. So Dave, where are you for your... I'm now expecting you to be someone bizarre, but you're going to tell me you're in like National League One back in, I don't know. I don't know any of the teams from National League. What, Dover versus someone? Is that? Who you got?
Yeah, no, I'm in the Prem, and it's early kickoff klaxon warning. It's a Saturday half 12 game, and it's Sheffield United against Everton, and we're going to attack Sheffield United at 21-10. Both of these teams are crap, and they've both got no points this season. But Sheffield United have at least scored 2 goals, whereas Everton have scored no goals at all. This is all off eye test for me. Sheffield United have looked okay. They gave City a good game, albeit they lost 2-1. They were unlucky against Forest. Forest got a late goal when they beat them 2-1. They've looked like they can defend, whereas Everton have looked awful. They look like they can't defend, they can't score. They brought in Beto today from Udinese, 30 million. I mean, you'll know a bit more about him than I do.
But he scored tonight. I seen that. He scored against Doncaster.
Came on at half time and he did get a goal, but he's only got 10 and 11 in his last 2 seasons in Italy, so it's not exactly like an amazing.
Dan Juma they brought in as well, and like Dan Juma's a guy who was like, you look at his record, and you're like, he was great at Bournemouth, but he's had one of those like seasons where you're like, got 17 goals, amazing, and then like you look at the rest of his seasons, and he's like, chipped in 5, played in every game. So yeah, I think you're well on the right side of Sheffield United.
Yeah, I mean Dan Juma's a weird one because he was going to go to Everton last season, and then Lampard got sacked, and then he ended up going to Spurs and did nothing at Spurs, and then goes but crawling back to Everton because obviously Spurs don't want him. I mean, Sheffield United have just brought in Cameron Archer as well from Villa, paid a decent bit of money for him, and Villa have got a buyback clause on him, but he looks a player who knows where the goal is. Did well for the England under-21s at the World Cup as well. That year, sorry. So, yeah, I just think, like I say, it's just an eye test, but because they both haven't been great. But I just think Sheffield United, especially at home as well, I like them to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Archer is one of these guys that, like, he's a perfect Sheffield United striker, isn't he, up there?
Yeah.
Like, just hit him the ball and see what happens is the thing here. And he's such a big, powerful boy. So, yeah, good pick, Dave. Joey, where are you? What are you fancying?
Yeah, no, and I, only thing I'll add is Sheffield signed my favorite Swedish player. Well, not Swedish. He might be, no, he's not Swedish, but from the Allsvenskan, Benny Traore.
Yep.
So it's unfortunate I can no longer go Benny and the Hack, but it'll be fun to sing Benny and the Blades.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same run, does it?
it's not the same, but we'll have to work. I'll try to workshop it throughout the season. But for my outsider, I'm actually going to be in the Bundesliga's Vi, and I like Magdeburg.
Yep.
Got to make sure I'm pronouncing that right, to win. Plus both teams to score against Hertha Berlin, and that's going to be at 3.85. So that game's on Saturday at noon. And so obviously I'm a little out of my comfort zone venturing into the Bundesliga Schwei. So that's always fun to say. But like a police dog on a drug bust, I try to sniff out the goals. And believe me, Magna Bird are doing just fine in that department. They've got two wins and two draws in their first four league matches. And while Hertha Berlin did win 5-0 last week against Firth, they've lost the previous three matches before that. And the fun part about that 5-0 win is they only created 2.02 XG. So definitely a bit fortunate putting five past a admittedly rotten Firth side. But Magdeburg have actually had a great preseason, scoring 33 goals in six matches. Admittedly, some of those were against smaller regional clubs. But they actually managed to win a 3-1 win versus Sevilla and a 2-0 win against Nordjylland, who, as I'm sure you've heard Andy talk about just a couple times, they're actually top of the Danish Superliga. And so, especially with that slow start from Hertha, the win aspect here should be relatively safe. And I was actually looking at this straight-up win potentially for my charity pick, just because of that 2.2, and I think it's a great price. But I think we can squeeze a little bit of extra value here with the win plus both teams to score, given that Magna Bird have seen both teams to score in four of their last five matches, in which they've won three of those four, but they've seen both teams to score. The other was a 1-1 draw, or a 0-0 draw against St. Pauli, who have been kind of up at the top, pushing for that promotion. So not a bad result at all. And so that 5-0 win for Hertha looks really good on paper, but as we've mentioned once or twice before, that's a notoriously rotten Greuther Fürth side. That they seem to be reverting back to the form that got them relegated 2 years ago from the Bundesliga. So I'm not going to look into that too much. Take that with a pinch of salt. But what that does tell me is that their new striker, Harris Tabakovic, is actually kind of starting to get settled in. They just signed him from Austria Vienna beginning of the season, and he didn't score in his, I think he's had three starts now. Either three starts or three appearances. And so he just finally got a brace in the belt in the last match. So that's kind of starting to round into form. But ultimately, in that 5-0 win against Firth, Hertha still conceded 1.68 XG. So I'm fully expecting Magdeburg to have more than enough quality to capitalize on their chances if this does turn into a shootout like I'm kind of expecting it will. And so for that, I'm looking at Harris Tabakovic and Luka Schuler for goals here. Tabakovic, as I mentioned, had the brace last time out. And then Schuler's actually had five goals in his first six starts. Well, I guess his last six starts, including a goal against Sevilla in preseason. That was their last preseason match. So goals galore. I'm expecting Magdeburg to come out on top. Should be pretty straightforward, hopefully.
Good man. And with your lengthy description, I had the opportunity to price up this treble. So this is 36.12-1 with Bet365's 5% bonus. You will get, just worth mentioning, we're not sponsored by Bet365. They just are much better than most bookies, right? They're, you know, we are willing to talk to them, but they pay it 2-0 out, which is in the outsider world the kind of thing I'm looking for, because the amount of outsiders I've backed that go up 2-0 and lose is pretty incredible. So Sheffield United at 2-1, Union Berlin at 23-10, Magdeburg and Yes at 11-4. You get EP'd on Sheffield United and Union Berlin. So we're on both sides of the Berlin teams on this, backing a Berlin yeah. win and a Berlin loss. And yeah, so happy with those picks there. And hopefully we'll get some winners in there. On to the final section and our charity bets. I'm doing something I don't really like doing, but I think it's a good price to do so. I'll be taking West Ham away at Luton. And you'll get them at the rather spicy price of 4-5 to do this. I know Dave doesn't like this pick at all, and he doesn't like it because Luton are playing their first game at Kenilworth Road in this game, and they're playing against a West Ham team that historically they've done all right against. They won each draw last year. Then you go back to 1992 when they were like beating them. You know, I'm taking that form out because I'm not accepting that. I'm not taking anything pre some of our listeners being born. I like West Ham here. I like West Ham because they've started really well. They've been a surprisingly good team to start with. 3-1 win at Brighton. where they just decided that they would play a low block and play Brighton at Brighton. They were rather successful at doing so. A 3-1 win over Chelsea, who have been a bit sorry to start with there. Luton's home form hasn't been great. They've lost to Chelsea and they've lost to Brighton. So thankfully, I have comparative results for all of these. They lost 3-1 to Chelsea and they lost 4-1 to Brighton. I think West Ham are a class above Luton. The only thing that worries me is Kenilworth Road, and this being their first game there. I know Dave doesn't like it in here. You get them at 4-5. Dave, I'm not asking you to do your pick. I'm just asking you, is that the reasons you don't like it?
I don't mind the pick. I think West Ham, on paper, they should win this game. They've just brought a couple of good players in, but it's that. It's Friday night. It's under the lights.
Under the lights. Yeah, I knew I was going to hear that.
Intangibles.
Yeah. It's Luton's first game at home in the Premiership because the ground wasn't ready to be able until now. I would say, either of you two ever been to Luton, but the answer would definitely be no.
I've been to Luton Airport and it's shit. So, that's...
You literally walk through someone's back garden to get into their ground.
Yeah.
It's mental.
It's a traditional ground there for a kind of big town.
West Ham won't be able to sag a lot of fans.
For what it's worth, Gordo, I was looking at that pic too.
Good.
I just left it off for pretty much the reasons that Dave mentioned.
I would leave it off, but I think we're going to go back and look at this and be like, fucking West Ham shelled them. And at 4-5, that was a good price. 3-4 and 3-6-5. But I understand the intangibles in this one. It's under the next. I'll watch the game because I think it'll be interesting to see Kenilworth Road. They haven't been great to start with. West Ham have beaten and played the two teams they've played and lost to already, so I'm comfortable with it. I'll take the L if it's required, but I don't think it will be. Dave, where are you?
I mean, West Ham are certainly a good price. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's a good price. So I'm back in the Championship Saturday at 3 o'clock, and it's Rotherham against Norwich. And I'm going to take Norwich at 3-4. Norwich sits second on 10 points. Rotherham have only taken 1 point there in 21st. Rotherham, their point came up with a draw against Blackburn. They've lost to Leicester, Sunderland and Stoke, where Norwich went and demolished Huddersfield 4-0 away last week. They beat Millwall and Hull at home. And then they're that crazy 4-0 draw with Southampton. I like Southampton in that, but... Yeah, the last six meetings between the sides as well has been one draw and five Norwich wins. Playing good football, Norwich, a bit better than I expected them to be honest. I like Josh Sargent. He's got 3 goals this season. They've also got a young 20-year-old coming out of the academy called John Rowe, who's been playing up front with him. And he's been brilliant. He's got 4 goals already this season. Norwich actually are averaging 3.3 goals a game this season, so I'm sure Joey will love Norwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sargent and Rowe have just been banging them in. I've been loving it.
I just say they should have too much for a Rotherham side here, even away. So.
Yeah, good price as well. So, yeah. Joey, how are you rounding out this week? Where are you?
Yeah, so... For my charity pick, I hate to use the dreaded phrase, but I really do love this pick. I initially wanted to include it in the charity outsider section, but I figured it was given the circumstances. Unlike Gordo, who's like, oh yeah, if it comes in, it comes in. Yeah, no, good price, but hey, yeah, we'll just throw that in the charity slot. Yeah. That's more for the value, mate. But. We'll get there. We'll get that charity trouble dialed in eventually here. So for my charity bet, I like Austria Klagenfurt on the double chance away to Austria Vienna. You can get that at 1.89, at least at my books, kind of hovering around 1.85, 1.8 to 1.9. So that's going to be on Sunday at 4 p.m. And much like Magdeburg and Milan, I'm going to be bringing another team in sensational form into the charity slot. And I think the price on Klagenfurt is just far too big. So given that it's the charity, slot. I'm going to take the double chance here, just shy of evens. I think that's a great price. Klagenfurt are undefeated through five matches with a massive draw away to perennial top five side, Sturm Graz, to go along with their two away wins at Tirol and Hartberg. While Austria-Vienna have lost three matches and drawn one to go along with their lone win against Lustenau, who were promoted last season, so we'll take that with a pinch of salt. And so a lot of Vienna's recent problems have been a combination of losing the talisman Harris Tavakovic to Hertha Berlin, as we mentioned before. And they've also been juggling Europa qualifiers. But historically, Klagenfurt have actually only lost three times in nine head-to-head matches, head-to-head meetings in all locations, and they've picked up at least a point in three of five all-time meetings at Austria-Vienna. I was initially looking at this for my outsider, as I mentioned, because I just think it's a great price. I really do. And then putting Magdeburg in the charity slot, kind of did a little flip-flop there. Hopefully it doesn't bite me in the butt. But given the fact that Vienna are no longer dealing with the fixture congestion with Europa qualifiers, I'm kind of expecting their form to improve at some point, possibly sooner rather than later, in the sense that they're not just going to keep losing every match. So just for a little bit of safety, I kind of threw the double chance in there. But this is going to really be a tough test against a high-flying Klagenfurt side, led by a friend of the pod, Andy Irving, who has three goals and two assists in his first five matches. So he's been absolutely on fire. And, I mean, at this point, just give me Klagenfurt to most likely win, but certainly avoid defeat at the very least. And hey, we love another Andy Irving goal. Kind of keep that scorching form going. Yeah. Goal or contribution, just anything.
Anything. Give me a G. Give me an A. Anything there. So, no, brilliant, Joey. No, that sounds really good. So, treble irons out at 4.54 to 1. That's a West Ham win, a Norwich win on draw, or Austria Klagenfurt. So, yeah, I mean, that has been the podcast this week. Gents, is there anything you'd like to say before I do our blurb about our Patreon and various different things? Is there anything you'd like to bring up or put down? No? Good. That's a nice, nice way of exiting then. Yeah, so, I mean, thanks everyone very much for listening. You can get us on, all good podcasting sites. If you're listening to this, you've obviously found us on one of the podcasting sites, but we are available on other ones as well. You can go to tramplebet.com. You will see our access to our Patreon on there. We can get the cheat sheet. You can see us. Joey's wearing a really cool football kit. If you're on Patreon, you'll be able to see it. If you're not on Patreon, you won't be able to see it. We had a really good midsection with some interesting stuff going on in there, some picks, some future developments for the podcast, and maybe a change of apparel for some guests in the next couple of weeks. I mean, all that remains to be said is thank you very much, Dave. Thank you very much, Joey. And happy hunting. Have a great weekend.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at chumbacasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at chumbacasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.